Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Compugen's fourth quarter and full year 2019 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. An audio webcast of this call is available in the investor section of Compugen's website, www.cgen.com. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce Ilana Holzman, Compugen's Director of Investor Relations and Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and thank you for joining us today. With me from Compugen are Dr. Anat Cohen-Dayag, President and CEO, Dr. Henry Adewoye, Chief Medical Officer, and Ari Krashen, CFO and COO. Before we begin, I would like to read the following regarding forward-looking statements. During the course of this conference call, the company may make projections and other forward-looking statements regarding future events or future business outlook, our business model, our development and collaboration efforts and their outcome, our discovery platform, anticipated progress and timeline for our existing and pipeline programs, and financing and accounting-related matters, as well as statements regarding our cash position, cash resources, and results of operation. We wish to caution you that such statements reflect only the company's current expectations and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to be materially different from any future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. You are kindly referred to the risk factors and cautionary language contained in the documents the company filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission, including the company's most recent annual report on Form 20-F filed on March 21, 2019. The company undertakes no obligation to update projections or forward-looking statements in the future unless required by law. I will now turn the call over to Anat. Anat?
Thank you, Ilana. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our fourth quarter and full year 2019 corporate and financial update. As Ilana mentioned, today on the call, I have with me Dr. Henry Adewoye, our Chief Medical Officer, who will provide updates on our clinical progress. We also have Ari Krashen, our CFO and COO, who will review our financial statements and position. Starting off, I'm very proud to be here today, sharing our tremendous accomplishments throughout the past year. We have entered 2020 truly transformed, positioned to realize the potential of our computational predictive target discovery capabilities. These capabilities have enabled us to discover three new drug targets for which antibodies have been developed into clinical programs that are being advanced internally by us or by pharma partners. Importantly, we now also have encouraging initial clinical data for COM701, our first internally developed and most advanced asset. These data, combined with our overall science-driven clinical strategy and an efficiently executed and expanding clinical program, propels us forward to an exciting time in the evolution of Compugen. Before we go through some of our 2019 accomplishments and preview what's to come, I'd like to review how our discoveries on the DNAM immuno-oncology axis lay the foundation for where we are today. With our computational discovery capabilities focused on the field of immuno-oncology, our lead program, COM701, stems from our discovery of PVRIG as a novel immune checkpoint and newly discovered inhibitory pathway in the DNAM axis. In addition, our data suggests that TIGIT, an additional inhibitory pathway discovered previously by us and others, along with PVRIG, are two parallel and complementary inhibitory pathways in the DNAM axis. Our view is that in certain tumor types and patient populations where the two pathways are operative, there may be a need to block both PVRIG and TIGIT in order to enhance anti-tumor immune responses in selected patient populations. In addition to the linkage between the PVRIG and TIGIT pathways, molecular intersections between the DNAM axis and the PD-1 pathway have been reported by others and are also supported by our preclinical data. We have shown in preclinical studies that our PVRIG inhibitor may work in synergy with PD-1 inhibitors as a dual drug combination and as a triple combination with both PD-1 and TIGIT inhibitors. Based on our new PVRIG pathway discovery and its suggested intersection with the TIGIT and PD-1 pathways, our overarching hypothesis is that various drug combinations may be required to address these three pathways, PVRIG, TIGIT, and PD-1, in different cancer patient populations and cancer indications. While in some of the patients, blocking the PD-1 pathway will be sufficient, in others, the blockade of one or both of the other pathways with or without PD-1 blockade may be required. This hypothesis and our preclinical data serves as the underlying basis for our clinical strategy, and the assessment of PVRIG pathway expression in cancer patients serves as the basis for our biomarker-informed indication selection. In order to clinically evaluate this hypothesis, we have been working to rapidly advance COM701, our lead investigational agent targeting PVRIG. To the best of our knowledge, COM701 is the only anti-PVRIG inhibitor currently in clinical trials, providing us the opportunity and advantage to deliver a first-in-class drug. This opportunity is even more promising at this point in time, with our encouraging initial clinical data in the monotherapy dose escalation arm of the study, and with a great deal of industry interest in the DNAM axis due to TIGIT inhibitors in clinical testing by other biopharma companies. To remind you, we are also developing our own anti-TIGIT antibody, COM902, as a complementary program to COM701 in order to allow us to test the dual blockade of PVRIG and TIGIT in cancer patients with tumors where the PVRIG and TIGIT pathways are likely to be more dominant. Henry will provide a detailed update on our COM701 phase 1 study and COM902 later in the call. But before that, I'd like to highlight the exciting news we shared this morning, that we are expanding our ongoing collaboration with Bristol Myers Squibb to include a phase 1-2 triple combination study testing COM701 with Bristol Myers Squibb's Opdivo and their investigational TIGIT inhibitor. In this study, we will be directly testing our hypothesis that there is an intersection between the PVRIG, TIGIT, and PD-1 pathways, and that the simultaneous blockade of these three pathways has the potential to synergistically enhance anti-tumor immune responses in selected patient populations not responsive to PD-1 inhibitors alone. This amendment to our agreement with Bristol Myers Squibb allows us to continue leading the clinical development of COM701 and accelerates our ability to test the three pathways in parallel to evaluate the science-driven hypothesis underlying our clinical strategy. We're delighted that our partners at Bristol Myers Squibb share our enthusiasm for the COM701 program and have agreed to supply not only Opdivo, but also their investigational TIGIT inhibitor for us to conduct the triple combination study which we sponsor. We believe this triple combination approach may advance our vision of transforming patient lives by expanding the reach of existing immunotherapies. We intend to begin the trial in the second half of 2020 and look forward to providing additional details on timing and trial design once these are formalized. Furthermore, we plan to complete the dose escalation arm of the dual combination of COM701 with Opdivo under our ongoing phase 1 study. Once we complete this dose escalation, we will select a dose for a dual combination expansion study, so we are ready at any point in time to initiate such expansion studies. At the moment, we plan to focus on the triple combination study, and as such, we will not proceed with dual combination expansion cohorts as originally planned, and the initiation of such studies will be assessed as we progress. As previously indicated, we plan to present initial data from our ongoing combination dose escalation study of COM701 with Opdivo in the second half of 2020. Excitingly, we are poised to begin the biomarker-informed monotherapy expansion cohort as planned, to which we recently added colorectal cancer based on the encouraging initial clinical data we have seen so far. The other four indications were chosen based on biomarker-informed expression levels, and we believe these cancers are most likely to respond to COM701 treatment. We were incredibly pleased to see initial signals of anti-tumor activity with COM701 as monotherapy in a dose escalation all-comers study addressing a heavily pretreated patient population. These data suggest that COM701, targeting a new immuno-oncology pathway we discovered, may have the potential to improve patient outcomes. We are pleased by our progress and our plans to expand our clinical studies. We have also made considerable progress with COM902, our anti-TIGIT antibody. It is important to note that while others have clinical programs targeting TIGIT, to the best of our knowledge, Compugen is the only company with clinical programs targeting both PVRIG and TIGIT, leaving us well positioned to synergistically target these two immune checkpoint pathways in the DNAM axis. We are on track to initiate our COM902 phase 1 study soon and anticipate sharing initial clinical data next year. Although we are developing COM902 to support our combination strategy for COM701, we will assess in an ongoing manner whether additional combination product opportunity exists for this clinical stage asset outside of the DNAM axis. We're looking forward to an exciting 2020 in which we plan to conduct three parallel clinical studies: COM701 monotherapy, the newly announced triple combination therapy, and COM902 dose escalation, and expect to have various data readouts during the second half of 2020 and in 2021. Turning to discuss our achievements on the intellectual property front. Over the past several years, we were granted multiple important patents in the US and Europe, bolstering our IP position and portfolio with new composition of matter and use patents. It is important to note that our ability to discover new drug targets empowers us to build a broad IP portfolio. Recently, we were granted new composition of matter and use patents for COM701 as a monotherapy and for use in combination with PD-1 antibodies and other therapies. We anticipate these new patents may strengthen our position on our path to develop a first-in-class anti-PVRIG asset. While investing tremendous effort in advancing our clinical programs, as I have described, we continue to invest in our early-stage pipeline, which serves as our growth engine. It consists of multiple programs having various mechanisms of action with the potential to address the immunosuppressive tumor microenvironment. These are very early stage programs, but as they progress, some may serve as our next wave of preclinical and clinical programs. Finally, we have also made some incredible additions to our management team, strengthening our computational discovery team, which is now led by Dr. Yaron Turpaz, as a part-time senior vice president and senior advisor. Yaron is a proven leader in R&D informatics and data sciences and technology for drug discovery and development applications, and brings to Compugen extensive experience in the biotech and pharma space. In addition, Dr. Oliver Fresh Eyes has recently joined us from Roche to head our corporate and business development efforts. Oliver brings significant expertise in the development and licensing of pharmaceuticals across a broad range of therapeutic areas, including immuno-oncology, and we look forward to leveraging his experience as we expand our innovative immunotherapy pipeline and pursue additional business opportunities. Before turning the call over to Henry, a brief comment on the third clinical program originating from a Compugen discovery. As you know, Bayer is evaluating Bay-190-5254 as a first-in-class immuno-oncology therapeutic antibody targeting ILDR2, a novel immune checkpoint we discovered computationally. Their phase 1 study was initiated in September 2018 and includes an evaluation of Bay-190-5254 as a monotherapy and in combination with Keytruda in various solid tumors, including bladder, cervical, gastric, and head and neck cancers. Bayer is solely responsible for clinical development of this program. Overall, we have made remarkable progress this year. I would like to thank our employees who have made this possible. I'm immensely proud of them and appreciate their hard work and commitment. I look forward to providing additional updates on our programs throughout 2020. With that, I would now like to turn the call over to Henry for a detailed update on our clinical progress. Henry?
Thank you, Anat, and good afternoon and good morning to everyone. As Anat mentioned, we have made significant strides with our ongoing phase 1 dose escalation study. The investigators continue to be enthusiastic about the clinical trial and remain encouraged by the initial clinical data disclosures at SITC in November 2019. As you know, the data presented were from our ongoing phase 1 clinical trial designed to assess the safety and tolerability of escalating doses of COM701 monotherapy, as well as in combination with Bristol Myers' Squibb Opdivo in patients with advanced solid tumors who have exhausted all available standard therapies. The data presented are from the 13 patients in Arm A, the first 7-dose cohorts of the monotherapy dose escalation arm of the trial. From a safety and tolerability standpoint, COM701 was well tolerated with no dose-limiting toxicities across all 7-dose cohorts, with dosing up to 10 milligrams per kilogram every 3 weeks. The patients treated in Arm A of this trial were heavily pretreated with a number of prior anti-cancer treatments for these 13 patients ranging from 2 to 15 with a median of 7. In addition to evaluating safety and tolerability, we also reported on preliminary anti-tumor activity of COM701 monotherapy. We and the investigators were encouraged to see initial signals of anti-tumor activity in this heavily pretreated patient population. The overwhelming majority of the patients enrolled, 9 of the 13 patients, in other words, 69%, had a best time point anti-tumor activity of stable disease. As a reminder, 8 of the 13 patients had prior treatment refractory disease, meaning the best antitumor activity reported with their last therapy prior to enrollment on our study was progressive disease. On COM701 monotherapy, 5 of these patients had stable disease at their initial assessment. We are encouraged by this data. 6 of the 13 patients enrolled in the study had microsatellite stable colorectal cancer, and 3 of the 6 patients also had KRAS mutations. We reported a best time point anti-tumor activity of stable disease in 5 out of 6 patients, or 83%, with MSS colorectal cancer, where 4 of these 6 patients with MSS colorectal cancer had confirmed stable disease out to week 12. The historical data with pembrolizumab monotherapy in patients with MSS colorectal cancer, published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2015, reported 11% stable disease at a similar time point, that is, week 12. Based on this data, we have decided this tumor type deserves further exploration during COM701 monotherapy dose expansion and will be included in the expansion cohorts. We and the investigators are encouraged by this data, especially in these very challenging to treat patient populations, and look forward to advancing the trial to additional readouts. I would now like to provide an update on progress for the rest of the trial. As a reminder, we currently have 2 trial arms enrolling patients. Arm A, the monotherapy dose escalation of COM701, and Arm B, the dual combination with escalating doses of COM701 and a fixed dose of Opdivo. We recently presented a trial in progress poster at the ASCO FITC Clinical Immuno-Oncology Symposium, detailing our progress, which I will now review. In 2019, we completed enrollment of Q3 weekly dosing cohorts in Arm A, the monotherapy dose escalation of COM701. Enrollment in the 8th dose cohort at 20 milligrams per kilogram on a Q4 weekly dosing schedule of Arm A is ongoing. As a reminder, we are now evaluating a Q4 weekly dosing schedule based on our clinical data and the dosing schedule of nivolumab. Importantly, after completion of the dose escalation with the Q4 weekly dosing schedule, we plan to begin enrolling patients for the COM701 monotherapy cohort expansion. We're excited to begin the monotherapy cohort expansion as it utilizes a biomarker-informed strategy where we have selected tumor types based on our preclinical PVRL2 expression data. The COM701 monotherapy cohort expansion will enroll up to 5 patients in each of those tumor types: advanced non-small cell lung cancer, ovarian, breast, and endometrial cancer, who have progressed on standard of care treatment. We have now added a 5th expansion cohort for colorectal cancer based on the clinical data we reported at SITC 2019. We believe our approach, focusing on indications that have high PVRL2 expression, will target the patient population most likely to benefit from COM701 monotherapy alone and in combination with Opdivo. As part of the trial, we will test the level of expression of PVRL2 in biopsies obtained from patient pretreatment and on treatment to conduct this respective biomarker analysis to inform on the correlation of anti-tumor activity and PVRL2 expression. Let's move next to an update on Arm B of the trial, a dual combination study evaluating escalating doses of COM701 with a fixed dose of Opdivo. Enrollment in the 4th dose level patient cohort at Q4 weekly dosing schedule has been completed, and I am pleased to report that as of our trial in progress presentation at ASCO SITC earlier this month, we reported no dose-limiting toxicities. We continue to have strong enrollment and are pleased to share that we remain on track to complete enrollment and present data in the second half of this year. Another major accomplishment for this year was the FDA clearance of our IND for COM902, our proprietary TIGIT inhibitor, With this IND, we intend to initiate a phase 1 trial to evaluate the safety, tolerability, pharmacokinetics, pharmacodynamics, and preliminary efficacy of COM902 in patients with advanced malignancies who have exhausted currently available standard of care therapies. As Anat mentioned earlier, we believe having a wholly owned anti-TIGIT antibody is important for our overall clinical development plan. Site initiation activities are currently underway for this multi-site trial, and we look forward to updating you when the trial begins. The third major clinical study into which we will enroll patients during 2020 is, of course, the phase 1/2 triple combination study of COM701 with Opdivo and BMS-986207, Bristol Myers' investigational anti-TIGIT drug, which we announced this morning. I would like to wholeheartedly agree with Anat's sentiment that we are incredibly excited to have this opportunity to test our hypothesis on the LINAM axis at this stage, and delighted to be working with Bristol Myers in advancing this program. The planned phase 1/2 open-label study will evaluate the safety, tolerability, and antitumor activity of COM701 in combination with Opdivo and BMS-986207 in selected tumor types, namely ovarian cancer, endometrial cancer, and a biomarker-driven arm of tumor types with high expression of PDRL2. The study will dose escalate COM701 with fixed doses of Opdivo and BMS-986207. The study is expected to commence in the second half of 2020, following the clearance of a new investigational new drug application by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Before turning the call over to Ari, I would like to give our sincere thanks to the investigators, the clinical site personnel, and in particular the patients and their families who have made this clinical trial possible by their participation. At Compugen, we continue to work diligently in developing and advancing novel investigational agents into clinical trials with the potential to address significant unmet medical needs. In other words, advancing investigational agents from code to cure. With that, I will turn the call over to Ari.
Thank you, Henry. Good morning and good afternoon to everyone. Our financial results for the fourth quarter and full year of 2019, released this morning, reflect the continued expenses associated with our phase 1 study for COM701, as well as the effect of the restructuring process we implemented at the end of the first quarter of 2019. We are pleased with the significant reduction of expenses we were able to achieve, and we are with our improved financial position. Research and development expenses during the full year 2019 decreased by approximately 35% and totaled $19.8 million compared with $30.3 million in 2018. For the fourth quarter of 2019, research and development expenses were $4.3 million compared with $7.5 million in the prior year period of 2018. The decrease in both cases is attributed mostly to the restructuring process we announced at the end of the first quarter of 2019, as well as preclinical activities related to COM902, most of which were concluded in 2018. This reduction was offset by an increase in expenses associated with the clinical-related activities of COM701 Phase 1 trial, which began in the second half of 2018. Marketing and business development expenses during 2019 decreased by approximately 60% and totaled $0.7 million compared with $1.6 million in 2018. The decrease is attributed mainly to expenses associated with our revenues during 2018 and the temporary reduction in headcount during 2019. Net loss for 2019 was $27.3 million or 43 cents per basic and diluted share, compared with the net loss of $22.6 million or 41 cents per basic and diluted share for 2018. Net loss for the fourth quarter of 2019 was $6.5 million or 10 cents per basic and diluted share, compared with a net loss of $9.4 million or 16 cents per basic and diluted share for the comparable quarter of 2018. As of December 31st, 2019, we had approximately $44 million in cash and cash-related accounts, compared with approximately $48 million at the end of the third quarter of 2019, and no debt. The slight decrease in cash during the fourth quarter represents our ongoing expenses offset by proceeds of approximately $2 million from the exercise of employee stock options, most of which reach their expiration period. Going into 2020, I would like to note that today's exciting announcement about expanding our collaboration with Bristol Myers Squibb does not materially change our cash outlook for 2020. Total cash expenditures is expected to be approximately $27 million for 2020 without taking into consideration any potential cash inflows to the company from existing or new collaborations. Based on our expected cash expenditures, which takes into consideration all of the clinical plans as described earlier by Anat and Henry, we expect to have sufficient cash at least to mid-2021. I would like to remind everyone that as a policy, management and the board of directors periodically evaluate the company's cash status in light of its development plans, business activities, financing opportunities, and market conditions. Each is considered together with the long-term interest of our shareholders. Strengthening our balance sheet in order to advance our clinical programs was and continues to be a top priority for management and our board. Before opening the call for questions, I would like to thank our shareholders for their continued support. I also want to thank my fellow management members and all of Compugen employees for their hard work and belief in our mission that allowed the company to start 2020 with a positive momentum and a clear path forward. Thank you, and with that, we will now open the call for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to decline from the polling process, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Mark Breidenbach of Oppenheimer. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking the questions and congrats on the progress. I think the triple combination trial makes a lot of sense, and we're excited about this one. Maybe let me start with one or two for Anat and then one for Henry to follow with. Undoubtedly you're aware of Roche Genentech's investment in its TIGIT program and their announcement about the new Skyscraper 2 trial, which is focusing on small cell lung cancer. I'm curious if Roche's plans around their TIGIT antibody have in any way impacted your development plans for COM701, and is small cell lung cancer something where you would expect PVRL2, PVRIG to play an important role?
So thank you, Mark. So we're aware of the announcements by Roche. So first, I'll just say that with respect to TIGIT and its potential in this axis and together with PVRIG, we're talking about it for quite a long time. We're expecting, because Genentech is more advanced with their asset, we're expecting to hear about their data or any hints about the TIGIT pathway being active. So we're very happy with this because it is actually reinforcing what we're saying for quite some time, and we do believe that in certain patient populations where both the PVRIG and TIGIT pathways are complementary and are active, that PVRIG will add to this activity. So that's our hope, and this is what we're focused to do. In terms of lung cancer, obviously, when we were discussing the selected indications for COM701, we were selecting those that we think that the PVRIG pathway is more expressed, and therefore patients are more likely to respond. And as you remember, we selected ovarian, endometrial, breast, but also lung cancer. And we think that the PVRIG pathway may have a role also in lung cancer, and we'll see. You know, we are positioned as a company that, you know, the only company to the best of our knowledge with the clinical stage asset, we're positioned to test it. So we'll see.
Okay, and I also noticed that they're including chemotherapy in combination with their TIGIT and their PD-L1 antibody. Is that something you'd consider down the road in your collaboration with Bristol Myers Squibb?
So it's we're not ruling this out. Remember that our agreement with BMS allows us to test various type of combinations. So it was from the beginning we didn't only focus on COM701 and Opdivo. We will consider chemotherapy could be added based on a scientific rationale for some of the indications, and for others it could be added just because this is the standard of care and you want to be able to add your treatment to standard of care. So everything is open for us. For now, we're clearly focused on the triple, which is the critical path for us to ultimately prove what we're saying for quite a long time, and we're accelerating here with this expansion of the agreement, our timelines forward together.
Okay, perfect. And a quick one for Henry, if I can. With regard to the two dose escalation arms that are ongoing right now, can you tell us how, you know, is the 20 mg per kg Q4 weekly dosing arm, is that the last escalation arm for the monotherapy trial? And can you tell us how many more dose escalation cohorts you intend to enroll in the Opdivo COM701 combination before wrapping up that trial?
Well, thank you very much, Mark. At this point, since the trial is ongoing and enrolling patients, it will be premature to indicate if this will be the last dosing cohort we will have. We will be able to disclose additional information once we're able to get all the data in that we're looking at. So the data I'm referring to will be not just the clinical data, but also the laboratory data also. And more so, not just in the first within the DLT window, that's the first cycle, but subsequent cycles also. So we'll see as the trial unfolds. Remember, one of the things that we're interested in during the conduct of this trial is trying to figure out if we'll be able to achieve a maximum tolerated dose. For most of the checkpoints that have been developed, it doesn't appear as if there is one. So what I can tell you for certain now is it will be premature to see if this will be the last dosing cohort for the monotherapy dose escalation. And also, in terms of the monotherapy, the combination with Opdivo, COM701 plus Opdivo, also premature to indicate how many dose level cohorts we will test. Because as you know, this is a phase one study, and we're just interested in determining the safety and tolerability of the combination. And this will be very important for us because it will inform also what the projected toxicities will be for the triplet combination that Anat mentioned earlier during the call.
Yeah, okay. And I just would like to add, and Henry, thank you very much on this, but I just would like to add, Mark, in order to add some additional context on information that we already disclosed. So we did we do anticipate to initiate enrollment for the monotherapy dose expansion arm in 2020 and to complete enrollment in 2020 and to release data in the first half of 2021 for the monotherapy expansion cohort. So that gives you some time frame to what we're looking for. And also for the dual dose escalation, COM701 plus Opdivo, we already stated as well that we are going to present data in the second half of 2020. So that's also put things in perspective. While,
right,
as Henry said,
right,
the study is ongoing.
Right. And when you present the dual combination dose escalation results later this year, can we also expect maybe extended follow-up from the monotherapy dose escalation cohorts as well?
Yeah, it could be, yes. Yes, we will present the data that we have available, yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking the questions, and congrats again.
Thank you.
The next question is from Varun Kumar of Cantor Fitzgerald. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking the questions. First, on triplet, you specifically mentioned ovarian and endometrial as expansion cohort, which could come in future. So maybe first, what's the rationale of these two cohorts in particular for the triplet regimen? Maybe Anat, if you can answer that.
Yeah, sure. So as you stated, ovarian and endometrial were selected for us also for the monotherapy, on top of the fact that we're going also to test breast and lung cancer. And also we added recently colorectal based on the monotherapy dose escalation data. On the triplet, we wanted to make sure that we focus on indications that we also have the monotherapy expansion cohort. We selected ovarian and endometrial because of the high expression, as in the other indications that we selected, like breast and lung, the high expression of the PVRIG pathway. That's a biomarker informed the decision, and that's the reason these two indications are part of the triplet.
Thanks for the color.
Go ahead, sorry.
I know. I wanted to have a follow-up as well on, the triplet. Now, given you are having Bristol TIGIT in this study, I was trying to understand how strategically you are thinking about your own TIGIT. I understand you will have a phase one study with 902, but, how strategically you will position your TIGIT molecule given you have now, Bristol TIGIT in the clinical study?
So first, having Bristol TIGIT in the study is great, and it's win-win for both companies in terms of accelerating the timelines and making sure that we're on the critical path to go ahead into this axis that also gets observed more as focus recently and just move on quickly. Our own TIGIT is actually it's a separate story. We develop our own TIGIT in order to make sure that we can test execute on the overall COM701 clinical strategy. In this strategy, we would like to make sure that we can test COM701 plus COM902 in certain patient populations. We, as a small company, we need to make sure that we have the access to everything that we need in order to move ahead. And we are looking to expand our relationship with BMS as much as possible, and they're a great partner for us. But as a small company, it's a clinical collaboration. We need to make sure that COM701 is the key lead asset for Compugen, and we need to make sure that we have the components in order to move quickly forward as needed. In general, the strategy for COM902, on top of the fact of combination with COM701, obviously that's a clinical stage asset now. And if TIGIT is a validated pathway, as we think it should be, then from our perspective, we have a clinical stage asset of a validated pathway, and if there are any opportunities that are outside of TIGIT plus PVRIG, obviously we're going to assess it in an ongoing manner and decide whether we want to pursue our own TIGIT antibody in additional combination opportunities.
That's very helpful, Anat. Maybe last question, if I may, on 701. It's really exciting to see that you are driving the monotherapy as well, and the expansion cohort looks like the data is still expected in first half next year. I just wanted to understand, is the goal there with the monotherapy 701, is the idea to have it to be more informative study, or do you think there could be a path forward with single agent in terms of regulatory path as well if you get some exciting data there in solid tumor?
Well, first, obviously, this is a completely new agent. As Henry is saying all the time, we need to know as much as we can on this, on the safety profile, the tolerability, and everything possible. So that's part of the reason for us to move forward. But also, I'll tell you that obviously our data is supportive of tumor growth inhibition in preclinical models. Up until now, checkpoints that were showing preclinical data other than PD-1 and CTLA-4 did not show encouraging, maybe not all of the checkpoints, but most of them, encouraging clinical data. Hopefully, TIGIT is bypassing this barrier now. But for COM701, even in the dose escalation stage where we had heavily pretreated population, median of treatments of 7, really exhausted patients, and we were able to see some encouraging initial signs of possible activity, and that's the reason we added colorectal to the monotherapy. Look, we selected these indications because we think that these are the indications where this pathway should be more active. These patients in these indications are likely to respond, and we'll test it. Hopefully, we will be able to see also monotherapy, but I think that in general, in this space, if you want to hold your breath, I guess it's combo, right? I'm not ruling out the monotherapy front, obviously, but I think that, and we're pushing forward as quickly as possible. But I think that with our theory about the three pathways, we look forward into getting data of combination studies.
That's very helpful. Thank you, Anat and Henry and Ari as well. Congrats on the progress.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Colin White of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Colin White from Jefferies here. So on the recent Genentech call, they were discussing the possibility of combining an anti-TIGIT and an anti-PD-1 with IL-15 to help with NK cell expansion. You're obviously testing your triplet, anti-TIGIT, anti-PD-1, and COM701. So I was just wondering if you could share any thoughts on the possible advantages of your strategy and whether or not you've considered combinations with cytokines that could induce cell proliferation.
I think that maybe first I'll relate, in order to address your question, I'll relate to the three pathway science-driven hypothesis that we have. So we think that in different patient populations, there may be a different need for different combinations. So I'll just elaborate. So you know that for patients where PD-1 pathway is more dominant, treating them with PD-1 blocker would probably get this patient to respond. But we think that in other patient populations where the PD-1 pathway is maybe less dominant and there are additional pathways or other pathways that are dominant, you would need to treat with additional or other agents. And that's our story with respect to this triple pathway. And we're going to test it. That's our clinical strategy. So we think that there is a room for TIGIT plus PD-1, but there is also obviously a room for TIGIT and PVRIG, and that could be in different patient populations, in different cancer indications, and even maybe in overlapping for the triple. So that's our hypothesis and the clinical strategy. With respect to cytokines, I think that it goes to a more broader question with respect to infiltrated tumors and excluded tumors and desert tumors where T cells are not infiltrated into the tumor microenvironment. And that goes into how you release the immunosuppressive tumor microenvironment in order to be more permissive, in order for T cells to infiltrate and then you can treat them with checkpoint inhibitors. And obviously there are different modalities that are being tested now that are dealing more with the changing the inhibitory profile of the tumor microenvironment, and cytokines could well address this. You know, we'll see how this data is panning out.
If I could just follow up with one other question about the triplet study design. I mean, how will the study show the contribution of COM701? Is that a part of the way that the study is going to be designed?
So specifically for the design, and Henry, feel free to jump in if you want to add, but specifically for the design, we'll share more data after the study design is formalized, and you know, we need to submit a protocol and approve and get clearance for the IND. So we'll share more data about the study design itself.
Okay, thanks.
I concur, Anat. And it's a very good question, Colin, which we've thought of internally also. But like Anat mentioned in a prepared address, that we're trying to get to the core of this, which is evaluating the axis, the DNAM axis, and blocking the various actors in this axis. So that will answer the question, and then trying to figure out the contribution of the relative two or the three molecules then becomes a little bit easier to address once you start seeing the data come in. Let me segue a little bit back to the question that both Mark and Varun talked about. So herein lies the reason why the COM701 monotherapy expansion will continue in the selected tumor types with high expression of PVRL2. That data will not just be informative in terms of the anti-tumor activity, but also satisfies regulatory criteria in trying to disentangle what the contribution of COM701 is and will be. So that partially addresses that also.
Great, thanks.
This concludes our question and answer session. I will now turn the call back to Compugen's President and CEO. Dr. Cohen Dayag, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Thank you. During 2019, we made significant progress in our clinical development plans for COM701, our lead immuno-oncology asset. And in 2020, we will be conducting in parallel 3 clinical studies. COM701 monotherapy, the triple combination study of COM701 with Bristol's Opdivo and TIGIT inhibitor, and COM902 dose escalation. Our ongoing clinical studies, with the support of Bristol Myers Squibb, will advance the clinical evaluation of our hypothesis regarding the potential role of the PVRIG pathway within the DNAM axis and PD-1 pathway. This is particularly exciting given the growing industry focus on this axis. We remain optimistic and with the hope to expand the reach of cancer immunotherapy to new cancer types and patient populations. I'm extremely pleased with the progress we have made during 2019 and enthusiastic going into 2020, well positioned to execute. We look forward to sharing with you additional data during 2020 and in 2021. Thank you for joining us on the call today.
Thank you. This concludes the Compugen LTD fourth quarter and full year 2019 financial results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.